So one of the things that's been part of my working week this week is carrying a bassoon around with me. So I don't play the bassoon, I should just say that. One of my classes, we're doing instruments of the orchestra, so I'm trying to take in a range so they actually get to see them. So I play a nice, tidy little flute that just fits very easily and is very easy to carry around. And I thought, well, do you know, just as a change, I'll take them a bassoon as well. We were doing woodwind. So it comes in a great big case. It's really heavy. The case is really awkward. So I took it into my first school where I needed to use it. So I've got my bassoon, I've got the instruments I need, the other things we're doing, I've got my school bag, my laptop, everything. I managed to work myself way in through the door. But then, you see, I'm in two other schools after that on a Thursday. Now, this bassoon is not mine. It's very expensive, and it wouldn't fit in my boot because the boot of my car is tiny. So I can't leave it in the car because it would be seen, and somebody might take a fancy to it. Although, they're probably like me, would have to watch YouTube to work out how to actually put it together. Never mind how to get a note. So for the rest of the day, as I'm in and out of my schools, I've got this bassoon that I've got to take with me, this heavy, great thing, as well as my bags and my bits and all my extra things. By the end of the day, I did have a slight funny ache in my shoulder. I found it a bit awkward sometimes getting through some of the doors because I've got things fastened on various shoulders and attached, and it was slightly awkward. I'm really glad that I don't need it next week and I can just not have to carry around with me. That's just a bit of an introduction, really, because we're doing my sermons the last few times I've preached have all been based on this book about rest, it's called All Who Are Weary, Finding True Rest by Letting Go of the Burdens That We Were Never Meant to Carry. We've looked at Jesus' invitation, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. We looked at how he offers himself to us, to all of us, but then it's up to us how we respond. We've looked at how we need different rest depending what it is that we've given out and used up and carried. We've been looking at things that we carry around with us that we don't need to, like the bassoon. How they wear us down, how they distract us from the main things, how they can distort our view of ourselves and other people. And hopefully we're being encouraged to look at what extra we're carrying around. We've looked at worthlessness and condemnation. We've looked at self-sufficiency and worry. Things that definitely burden us, make life more difficult and wear us out. This time we're looking at insecurity and comparison. These two things, I think, link together. They can feed each other. I hope, as we go through today, that you'll recognise if you are carrying these, if you are being weighed down by them. But I also hope it gives you the hope to know that you don't have to carry them. We can put them down and walk around a bit more free. So, let's hear from the Bible. Luke chapter 18. Graham's going to read to us. Thank you.
Morning. This is called the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen.
Thank you. Is that it? Yeah, no, there was a little bit more. Don't worry. Can we have the next little bit, Dan? Did I do it? Did I give the? Just read that bit as well.
Sorry. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
Thank you.
Amen. Thanks. Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. Thanks, Graham. So we're going to look at two of these, two burdens, two weights, two things you might be carrying. It may be that even just having heard the words, you think, oh yes, I can feel that already. We're going to look at insecurity. The only opinion that matters is how Sarah titled it in her book. Insecurity, the only opinion that matters. I think it does tie in a bit with worthlessness that we looked at a few weeks ago. The definition of insecurity is fear that you're not enough. Fear that who you are isn't good enough for someone or something. Contrast that with the words of Psalm 34, verse 5. Those who look to him, to God, are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Henri Nouwen said, many of us walk around in the fear that we'll get found out, that we're not as kind, as helpful, as generous, as lovely as other people think we are. Do you recognise yourself there? Do you ever feel that? You know, people might find out really what you really like inside. So just have a look at the impact of carrying around the weight of insecurity. A few things. I think firstly, there's the weight of maintaining an image. The Pharisees put a lot of effort into maintaining their image, of living up to expectations, of showing that they were right, of putting themselves forward as the people to be noticed, to be praised. Their emphasis was on what people saw on the outside. Jesus wasn't very patient with their pretense. Do you know, I think we can sometimes do the same. We all like to be liked, admired. We like not to show ourselves up. But eventually, it gets wearing. Perhaps it stops us from putting our energy, our effort, into more important things because we're trying to maintain this image of who we want people to think we are. We carry the weight sometimes of struggling to admit our failures to ourselves, to other people. It's hard to admit them because it confirms our worst fears about ourselves. It means we miss out on forgiveness, though, if we can't admit the things we've done wrong. Or perhaps sometimes the weight is that we focus on them too much. And we notice them and they're there in our heads all the time. And our failures and the things we don't do right become all out of proportion. Carrying the weight of insecurity means we can struggle to accept compliments. Do they really mean that? They wouldn't say that if they really knew me. Well, it wasn't a lot really compared to what someone else does. We've all said things, nice things to people and they've just dismissed it or shrugged it off. It happened to me this week when I complimented somebody, not somebody here. I complimented somebody and she was all kind of, I don't really think so. In times when we're insecure, we can struggle to accept that other people really mean those nice things that they say to us. But then perhaps the biggest weight, the biggest thing, the most draining thing, is that going over and over things that we've done or things we've said. We've been round to a friend, we've had a conversation, we come away and we think, did I say too much? I said too much. Did I say enough? Did I ask the right questions? Did I show enough interest? And already our lovely time with our friend has been damaged and tainted and just lost in that going over what we said and how we said it and did we express it right and should we have said that? We can be so quick to find things that we've done wrong or things we think we might have done wrong. and take the things out of all proportion. It spoils it. It spoils the event of what happened. It takes our attention away from the now. If anybody's ever wondered why, when somebody's spoken in church, David always says, please get somebody to pray with you before you go home. This is why. This is why. We're especially vulnerable, I think, to the weight of insecurity when we've stepped out in God's name, when we've put ourselves out, when we've put ourselves in front of people, we can be especially vulnerable. And it is so wearing to go home and think, I should have said that. I didn't say that. Why did I say that? They didn't come across well. I didn't mean to put that in. Oh, I forgot to say that. It can be so wearing, so tiring, so draining, so spoiling. So to everybody on our prayer rota who prays with people after the service, thank you, because it makes a huge difference and it stops us carrying a weight we don't need to. The problem, I think, is when we're looking to ourselves or to other people for our sense of identity. No amount of positive affirmations, no amount of self-help strategies can deal with the root cause of this weight. We can't find ourselves solely by looking at ourselves. We only find the cause of our insecurity, not the solution. The solution is to look to Jesus. In Jesus, we find our worth, we find our value. You might remember from the worthlessness sermon when I talked about that, I said I discovered about how unique the creation story is in the Bible. Because most of the creation stories have the gods or whoever is creating people as servants, people who are going to do something to benefit the creator. The Bible tells us that God created people out of his love. It tells us that God created them and he loved them straight away. That's very different, isn't it? That gives us a very different sense of value. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, before we put anything right, before we'd done anything to earn anything, before anything had changed, Christ died for us. That's the value that God puts on us. Tim Keller says that only in the gospel, it's only in the gospel that the verdict comes before the performance. God loves me and you and accepts us. So I can do these things because they need to be done. Not to impress anybody, not to earn anything, not to show I'm worth anything. God loves me first. God saves me first. And because of that, I can do these things. It means we can be free from the world's opinions. That last bit in Luke chapter 18 that Graham read, that's an astonishing story of Jesus valuing children. Children who weren't especially valued in Jewish culture. Children who he brought to him, were welcomed to him, were given a place of honour. That's not what happened to Jewish children in those days. He was even telling the adults around that they had to become like the children. I wonder how they felt. It's not what the adults would have expected to hear. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses at the burning bush, when God's saying to him, come on, I want you to go off and do these things. And Moses has all these excuses. God's answer is always, I am with you. I can be trusted. He doesn't give him a pep talk of, it's okay, it's not as hard as it sounds. Don't worry, you've got skills from your past you can bring forward. The important thing is who God is. The important thing was God's presence, not who Moses is. The solution to being insecure isn't finding our own strengths and things. It's not talking ourselves up. It's not positive statements about ourselves looking in the mirror every day. The solution to getting rid of the weight is looking to Jesus, remembering who he is, remembering how he loves us, remembering how he died because he loves us. That's the solution. And if you're like me, it's something you have to do lots of times. We know that. But we have to remind ourselves lots and lots of times, in lots and lots of different situations, that our security is not in anything we can do. It's not in how other people see us. Our security is in who God is and how he sees us. Hannah Anderson said, when we're no longer troubled with maintaining our own goodness, we can partake of the goodness around us. Being secure in God allows us to live boldly. It allows us to receive compliments with gratitude. It allows us to consider criticism and be shaped by the truth. There are things we all need to do different and better and can learn from. It allows us to serve as necessary. There's nothing that's beneath us because we've nothing to prove. There's nothing that's beyond us because God in us can do it. Being secure in God allows us to be free to rest. We don't have to please everybody by saying yes to everything. We can choose to rest and let things happen around us. I wonder which of these things you find the hardest. What is it most difficult? What situations do you feel most the weight of insecurity in you? And how do you compensate for how you feel about yourself? My prayer is that we can all practice letting God's voice be the loudest voice in our heads, that we can trust his opinion of us, that we can practice putting down the weight of insecurity. So that's the first one. We're going to listen to a song. Been splitting these sermons up. We've got the one to look at in a minute, but we're just going to listen to a song by Tim and the Glory Boys. I love Tim and the Glory Boys. We've seen them live. Just fantastic, joyful songs. This song is called I Am Yours. And I think it's really important that it's called I Am Yours. We all need to know for ourselves that we're loved by God, that we are his. Not just the people around us, not just the world at large, but each of us for ourselves. So thanks, Dan, to carry round with us. So that's insecurity. So let's move on to comparison. So in the book, Sarah said comparison, and her subtitle was Holding Out for Something Better. Let me give you an insight into our world this week. We've been doing some decorating. Well, no, sorry, that's wrong. We've not been doing some decorating. Obviously, we've had some decorating being done. That's just lots of you know our skills and the limits of our skills. So we feel like we spent endless time and energy comparing colours and textures and looking at things and weighing up and decisions and realising we don't know much about how all this works and there's lots of better ways of going about it. There's been a fear of not getting the best thing, of it being difficult to commit to something, to a colour, to a kind of wallpaper, because there might be something better we've not yet seen. Or there's the fear of being dissatisfied with our choice, because let me tell you, we are not doing this for a very long time. Once this is sorted, this will be it now for a long time. So whatever we're left with, we've got to be happy with it. I can't be sat in the front room going, oh, well, I wish we'd not had that one, because it will not be changing for quite a while. We've bought how many pairs of curtains this week? Five? Too many. Five different pairs for one set, for one window. We're not kitted the house out. Five different sets of curtains for one window. Have we decided yet which one? We're not fully there. We bought them, we brought them home, we've hung them up, we've taken them down, we've taken them back, we bought some others, we've hung them up, we've taken... Oh, honestly. Do you know? Comparison. And we're looking, which ones, what's the difference? How do we like this? Well, I like this bit, and I'm not so sure. It's not been good. Not been good. Oh, there's the sense that sometimes, do you know, I know, even as I go to the Ladies' Day next week, which I am thoroughly looking forward to, me and Emma are going to put our packed lunch together to take, and we're going to think, do you know what, we've got some great things in our packed lunch. I'm really looking forward to eating this at lunchtime. And I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get my packed lunch out, and then somebody's going to have all kinds of things in little boxes. You know, when they just open things and it's all homemade and suddenly what I've taken looks just a little bit not quite so exciting. I know that's going to happen. I know, because it happens every time. Do you know, they're little silly things in one sense. It doesn't matter what curtains we have hung up, really, or it doesn't really matter. But we do compare, don't we? We do compare our jobs. We compare our positions. We compare our families. We compare where our children are up to, what our homes are like. We compare our bodies. We compare what happens to us, our holidays. We compare ourselves to the past. Oh, like I used to be able to do that and now I can't. Or we used to fit in these clothes and now I can't. Or we compare where we are with where we hoped we might be by this stage. Do you recognise yourself in some of that? There's a lot of comparison goes on. What a lot of comparing. What a lot of weight we carry round with us. How does it affect us? Well, it breeds not good emotions, negative emotions of envy, of overwork, of bitterness, of striving, of discontent in our hearts. They might start off small, but they soon take root and they grow and they become a habit and they colour how we see things and how we respond. Carrying around comparison spoils our relationship with other people. We can resent what they have or we can dismiss them as not good enough. Either way, it affects how we respond. Did you hear the beginning of that Graham read, Luke chapter 18, verse 9? It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. That's why that parable was told, because people around Jesus were looking down on others. That's not a good thing to carry around with us, is it? I think carrying around comparison means we can stop enjoying ourselves now. We can stop enjoying the moment of where we are because we're looking for the next best thing. We're looking for something better. It's a bit like, you know, if you're having a conversation at a party and the person you're talking to is not looking at you while you're talking, they're looking over your shoulder because they're seeing if there's somebody better that they've missed that they could be talking to instead. Carrying around comparison can stop us enjoying now because we're wishing it was something different. I think it can lead us to minimise what's happening because other people are facing harder things. Oh, in comparison, what we're facing should be easier and we can just think, well, I need to get a grip. This happened to me this week. I was talking to a friend of mine and I felt in some ways I've had a bit of a tough week and different things happening. Writing this being one of them. And I was talking to her and she was telling me this story about her daughter, her two-year-old daughter, who's been incredibly ill this week. And as I'm listening, I'm thinking, gosh, I can't tell her about my week now. My week doesn't, you know, just pales into insignificance compared to what she's dealt with. It's not what she would say, but it's how I felt. There's nothing, no suffering that's too big or small for God. It's not about comparing it to somebody else's. It's about recognising where we are with our things. I think carrying comparison around with us means we can spend more time looking sideways. And it means we don't look at now, but we don't look necessarily forward either. It's like on the motorway and you've passed an accident and you're looking at what's been happening there and you're not looking ahead to see where you should be going. I could give you lots of examples from my week, this week, of how I've wasted time and effort looking at what other people are doing and comparing what I'm doing instead of just getting on with what I need to be doing. Perhaps you can think of them the same. And perhaps as you think of them, you can see how it adds a weight, how it drains, how it spoils and tarnishes and limits how we live. It's good not to stop there, though, isn't it? It's all right bringing out the difficult things and recognising the situation, but that's not how God works. He doesn't just highlight things and then leave us. There's always a way through. There's always a way forward. There's always healing and hope and freedom in his name. So we can remember that God has enough for everyone. We're not competing for his love. We're not trying to make sure we get our share, because if we don't, we'll miss out. But neither do we think that if we have what we need from God, that that means somebody else misses out. God has enough. God has more than enough for all of us. We don't have to try to be the favourite child to make sure we get the best. God has enough for all of us. We can remember that God values other people hugely, and that we need to do the same. In Luke chapter 18, again back to the story of the two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector there at the temple. The Pharisee said, God, I thank you, I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Now, the first listeners, the people listening to Jesus tell the story, at that point, they would have been thinking, whoa, go Pharisee, look at you, not just doing what you're supposed to, but doing more than you're supposed to. What an amazing, how fabulous is that? But that's not the right approach, is it? We need to be aware. We need to be aware of who we are and who others are. We need to be very aware of treating others, of, get this the right way around, we need to be aware of thinking that we need God's grace less than others. Be aware of comparing ourselves and thinking, well, I'm not like them. Do you know? Perhaps on the news when you hear what people have reacted in situations and there's a little bit of you that says, well, I would never do that. We need to be very careful we don't carry that. But equally be very careful that we don't think too little of ourselves. We need to value people as God values them. I think in comparison, and get rid of comparison, we need to be honest. The tax collector in that story said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There was no justification, there was no excuse, there was no talking it away, there was no putting forward a backstory that was difficult. There was nothing. There was, this is the situation. This is who I am. This is what I've done. This is who I am. I bring you this in honesty. It's good when we can do that. Come to Jesus and be honest and just say, here it is. This is what I've done. Not an explanation, not an excuse, not a justification, but this is who I am. This is what I've done. I think we can deal with our comparison weight by sharing our experiences. Do you know, years ago, I ran some parenting courses. It was before I was a parent, I was a facilitator of the group. So I didn't have to have any parenting skill, which was a good thing. But the value, the thing that struck me more than anything, was how powerful it was when these parents of young children, when somebody shared, oh, I'm really struggling with this, and the other parent said, oh, me too. Oh, my child does that. And the relief on somebody's face that theirs wasn't the only child who wouldn't put their shoes on to go out or whatever it was. That sense of shared experience allowed parents to go home feeling freer. I think we need to do that, don't we, as church? We need to be sharing our experiences with each other. Help people see that we struggle with similar things. And as well, deal with comparison, let's celebrate each other. In the book, Sarah, the author, tells this great story. She'd written this, what she thought was fabulous thing for a book. She wanted this book published. She'd written this amazing set of notes to go with it. She tried to have it published, and the publishers all rejected it. Nobody was interested. She was really frustrated, really felt small, felt she'd not very good, quite depressed. She was quite bitter that others were then succeeding and she was falling behind. But she said after some nudges from the Holy Spirit, she started celebrating and sharing the best of other writers' work. When someone had written something good, she celebrated it. When she read something that she thought, I wish I'd written that, that sounds fabulous, she shared it and promoted it and celebrated it. She said it wasn't always easy to do, but it was better for her and it was better for the community. She stopped comparing and started celebrating. wonder what you're most tempted to compare. Do you compare things? Do you compare relationships? Do you compare where you are with God? Maybe that's something to talk to God about. Just see if there's a weight there that you're carrying that you don't need to. And then the other question is to say, who can you celebrate this week? Rather than feeling diminished in comparison, let's know we can celebrate each other without it making us any less. I challenge you to look around in church, in work, at home, on the street, and celebrate people you see being kind and thoughtful, people stepping out in God's name. Let's celebrate them. And let's know we can do that and it doesn't make us any less. Do you know, when I've been hauling this bassoon in and out of my schools this week, everybody could see it because it was there in its massive great case. They could see how I was struggling to fit through the doors. They could see that I couldn't quite get my keys out of my pockets because I had so many other things in my hand. People could see the weight, the extra I was carrying, and the effect it was having on me. Do you know, when we carry insecurity in comparison, it's probably not always that noticeable to other people because we carry it inside. But it's still there, and it's still something God doesn't want us to carry. After our curtain saga this week, I've been really struck by how much time and effort we can waste on things we don't need to. So I encourage you this week to talk to God about how you can put down any insecurity you carry, any comparison you carry. It takes lots of practice. It takes lots of doing. But it allows us to live more freely. Amen. So we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing about how God loves us, about how his love is reckless.